This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, today was day two of the baseball season because the Dodgers and Cubs played another game in Japan at 6 a.m. Did you watch any of that, Teak? Game number two?
I did not.
Well, you missed a couple of interesting things.
I just know the Dodgers won. They did win again.
They did. Roki Sasaki made his major league debut. Looked nasty. Couldn't throw a strike. But the Dodger bullpen did a fine job. They scored six runs. No Freddie Freeman. No Mookie Betts. They won. Blah, 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 whatever. But in the sixth inning of this game, something peculiar happened. Ian Happ hit a pop-up to third base. And Max Muncy, the Dodgers' third baseman, kind of leaned into the stands to make the play. And a fan made a really good catch, appearing to steal the baseball away from Max Muncy. Here's the way it was described on the Fox broadcast earlier this morning.
Lunging over that netting, it looked like he had it in the glove.
Oh, no, the other guy caught.
Oh, it's the other black glove that was out there. Muncy and that gentleman's glove of the same color.
Oh.
Both flash in the leather, and the fan got the souvenir instead.
That fan they're talking about actually played in the National Football League.
Yes. I thought he was making a bad slip there for a second.
Oh, what? When he said what?
Black glove.
Oh, you thought he was like, that black guy caught the ball.
I thought he was saying, that other black guy.
No, it was Rodney Pete, and they had no idea. Now, I have spent a lot of time bashing Joe Davis. But on the Dodger broadcast, which Joe does locally, listen to how quickly he picked up who the fan was.
I'll be honest, from up here, I thought he had it too. No, he didn't even get glove on it.
I wasn't wrong. Oh, look at that. He said he makes the catch. It was Rodney Pete.
Was that Rodney?
Yeah.
Well, they probably knew.
I wasn't lying. He made the catch.
Yeah, because he's a Dodger fan.
Yeah, well, they probably knew, and then he was already there.
Yeah.
They probably had, I don't know, chatted with him at the hotel or something. It's Rodney Pete.
And he was decked out in Dodger stuff. So Rodney Pete's a big Dodger guy. It's funny. The national guys were analyzing the situation, and I think Rodney almost got offended that people thought he interfered.
Yes.
He did not interfere. Like, ball was clearly in the feet, not the field of play, in the stands area, and Muncy's leaning over to try to catch it, and all Rodney did was put his glove up.
And by the way, Muncy wouldn't have caught the ball anyway.
I agree.
It was past, like, the ball was past his glove.
You know what this makes me...
Rodney caught it under his glove.
You know what this makes me think?
What's that?
I think we got to get you a seat very, very close to a foul line just so randomly Tiki Barber can take a foul ball away from Oswaldo Cabrera.
Nice.
How great would that be? But yeah, the Dodgers won again. Blah, blah, blah. Let's go to Ed in Marlboro. What's up, Ed? Hello, Ed.
Edward. What's up?
Edward going once. Edward going twice. Edward is gone. Instead, we'll say good afternoon to Austin in Rockaway. What's up, Austin?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. What's up, dude?
Good.
I was just, thinking about the whole Aaron Rodgers situation. Absolutely not. He's not a mentor. He's not the person you want mentoring your quarterback. And to tie that in, we are forgetting that Dable and Shane chose to keep Daniel Jones, thinking that they could develop him. They couldn't. And they had to let him go. And now he's probably the best free agent out there before he got actually signed that possibly could have came back if he wasn't someone we let go. We probably would have signed him. Now we're thinking that these guys are going to draft a quarterback, be able to mentor that young quarterback while having, who knows, as the veteran quarterback. That's why I think we need to go Jameis Winston. Mm. He's a character guy. You need someone with character. Dable has too much on his plate to actually be that dude. He's not. You're a head coach. You have way other things to do than doing that.
Just getting back to the Daniel Jones thing, until Daniel Jones does anything, like literally anything, now in Indianapolis,
yeah.
Until that happens, Brian Daboll got more out of Daniel Jones than anybody. So to say, well, he would have been the best young quarterback available, until proven otherwise, Brian Daboll is the one that had him leading the league in interception percentage. That was Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll had him as the quarterback when they won 9 games and made the playoffs and won a postseason game on the road. Brian Daboll. So before we put Daniel Jones over for anything, can we actually allow him to succeed away from Brian Daboll? Because that hasn't happened yet.
Right. No, I think Dave's, his reputation is because he developed is the wrong word, and that's what people keep using, and it's starting to get annoying at this point.
What should be the word?
He found a way to make a quarterback successful in Buffalo, because that's what happened with Josh Allen up in Buffalo, because it was like a yin and a yang thing with Dave's and the offensive coordinator, who were two very different personalities, and they managed Josh Allen, I think, perfectly. And it's why, you know, he grew but also gained all of this confidence. But it wasn't because he just said, this is how you take a 5-step drop. This is where you deliver the football. It was go be successful. Don't make mistakes. Go be successful. And if you have to do it by running and taking off, great. I'll tell you what to do. Look at this read first. If it's not there, scramble, make a play with your legs. And for 2 years, he did that. And over those two seasons, off seasons, he grew and he learned and he started watching other people. And eventually, he became the Josh Allen that just won the MVP. I think so many people think it is just like there's just this prescribed formula. And you have to speak it perfectly in order for a quarterback to be developed. So much of it is on the quarterback. I've said this about a lot of players, and this is one of the reasons that I've been so frustrated by a guy like Evan Neal with the New York Giants, because I don't think he wants to be great. Josh Allen wanted to be great. Anthony Richardson is literally the most impressive athlete I have ever seen in my life, and I've seen a lot of impressive athletes. That dude doesn't want to be great.
Yeah.
Right? And so what the hell can a great developing coach do? Nothing. The guy has got to want it.
I'm going to give you a very... off, this has nothing to do with what you're saying, but everything to do with what you're saying. Wanting to be great, needing to be great. I was thinking about this morning driving in with an athlete in a completely different sport, because there have been rumblings over the last couple of days, and this could involve the Knicks, more likely involve my team.
Right.
And that is the idea that the Pelicans are going to trade Zion Williamson. And Zion Williamson is incredible when he plays. In fact, lately he's been playing and he's been awesome.
Yeah.
But I question, not just can he stay on the floor, I question what you just said.
Mm.
Does he want to be great? He's fat! So before Knick fans even start to think about, well, you know, Mikal Bridges, or Net fans think about, oh, we'll take some of the picks. Like, that's the question you have to answer about an athlete like Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
Because he can be great. I've always thought he could be great. But I think that want to that you mentioned is what is going to forever hold him back.
Yes.
And want to involves being in shape.
Mm-hmm.
Want to involves having the great training. Speaking
right.
of training.
It's obsessive.
Yes.
It's being obsessive. I've been retired for 20 years. I'm still obsessive about being in shape.
I can tell.
It's whether, even if I don't feel like it, I'll get up and walk on the treadmill as opposed to go for a run. It's just, if you don't want to be elite at everything you do, you're not going to be elite at anything you do.
Can you do me a favor?
Yes.
A small favor.
Go ahead.
I'm going to give you my phone. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hit the camera button.
Yes.
Can you film something I want to do right now and also describe it on the radio?
Yes, I definitely will.
Speaking of being fit, Sean, can you come in here? I'm going to Bill Belichick you.
There is a video
picture on Instagram of Bill lifting up his girlfriend with his legs in a yoga position.
Do it by the door.
And I've been studying the picture during our last commercial break, and I told Sean I can do it to him, even though he's a heftier kind of guy and I'm weak and out of shape.
So I'm going to lift you with my legs. You ready, Sean?
Yes.
All right, turn that mic on. I'm going to head over.
Please lift me with your legs.
Please be careful of the equipment, the cameras, and everything.
This is going to be so interesting.
What are we looking
at? So this is what is what we call acro yoga.
He's on his back,
it's acro yoga. He's on his back. Now, Evan is now laying on his back with his legs. Hold on. Let me start videoing. All right, here we go. Sean is taking his shirt off. Evan is laying on his back, and he's going to acro yoga Sean, who's sitting on Evan's feet with his butt, and he's got to lift him up with his arms. Oh, my God, he's almost got him. He can't do it. You got to get your squats in, Evan. It's a fail. That is a fail. Fail.
Oh, my God.
I saw a belly.
Fail.
Well, okay.
And Sean Zipper was down.
He's scared of heights.
What went wrong is I felt very confident. There was so much weight being exerted onto my legs.
Let's calm down.
I felt it was going to break. I felt my legs were going to break.
I'm 5 days off a conch for this year.
He's fat! It's not only that, by the way. It's also that I'm so not in shape.
Yeah.
Like, I need to work harder at getting back into...
Say what you just said. Go ahead. What? No, you said off mic, no, you're fat, and you pointed at Evan. I got to be fair here.
Yes.
I have to be fair.
That's fine.
Your gut is bigger than Sean's at this point.
Is it?
Yeah.
We're going to have a gut off.
I didn't want to tell you in front of millions of people, but you're looking a little tubby.
But that's fine. I'm trying to lift him. He's not trying to lift me.
No, but your core strength is a gut right now instead of flat stomach, which I think it needs to be.
But I know it needs to be your legs, and that was the problem. Like, I felt the weight being pressed down on my legs.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's more balance than strength, really. Sean didn't help you.
He didn't help me, yeah.
No. So
it's a team effort.
So Jordan, from the pictures I can see, there's no video of it, but the pictures I can see, she's helping Bill, right? And I kind of know this because both of my young daughters are flyers as cheerleaders, and there are some kids who were way less than Brooklyn does, but they carry themselves heavy. Right. So to make yourself light is a skill, right? To how you position your body. So what Sean was doing to you was basically putting dead weight.
Oh, thanks, Sean.
On your leg.
Or was it just let go?
I'm sure you just don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Clearly, Jennifer, or what's her name? Jordan Hudson has done acro yoga before. Because so she knows how to spread her weight. You see her arms are wide in the first picture, and her legs are split. And so what Bill is actually holding is just this little part of her hips, right? And on the second one, she's supporting herself with her hands behind him.
That's true.
Right? And so...
That is true.
Basically, what you tried to do, Sean, was... How much do you weigh?
I weigh 248.
You just tried to put 250 pounds on Evan's legs, and he's never squatted 250 in his life.
I have not, correct.
I mean, he's never even tried it. He probably can't squat 150.
He'd be in the hospital for 3 months.
So if you had spread your weight a little bit, Sean, maybe it would have been successful.
Thank
Instead,
you,
we got a massive fail.
Yeah, it was about... No,
captured on video.
Me.
I know how to spread my weight, by the way. I had two kids.
I think that definitely contributed. But I don't blame you for that. It's not like you're a yoga expert. You're not Jordan Hudson. But I also blame myself. Mm. This was the moment. Like, everyone has a moment.
Yeah.
This was my moment of, you know what? I'm going to go back to biking. I'm going to start eating better. So thank you, Sean, for bringing me back to what I should be doing.
Was it that?
I saw a belly.
Wasn't Tommy saying that you have a bigger belly than me?
No, that doesn't affect me. It's not being able to perform. That's what affects you. It's not.
It happens to all guys.
People saying stuff doesn't mean anything. It's how I couldn't do it and how I was out of breath. Like, that's the stuff that matters. Words, that doesn't mean anything. Mm. Let's go to Diego in the Bronx. What's up, Diego?
What's up, Ding?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All's good.
What's up?
I want to ask you guys a question on the 7th pick of the draft. Do you think it's crazy for the Jets to pick the kid Dart from... I'm sorry.
Dart. Jackson Dart? From Ole Miss.
Yeah, Jackson Dart.
From Ole Miss.
It's not crazy. It's not crazy.
It's a little bit of an overdraft, but...
They have to believe in the player. Mm-hmm. If they believe that... Because look, Darren Mugee's coming from an organization that essentially did the same thing. They drafted a quarterback in Bo Nix a lot higher than people thought.
Yeah.
And it was...
Top 15.
It was...
And I think... People thought he was going second round.
That's my point.
Yeah.
It was widely criticized. And then when he got on the field, and I think Sean Payton has a lot to do with this. I'm not convinced the Jets have Sean Payton right now, obviously.
Agreed.
That if you identify someone you love, then go get the player. Like, I don't think that's crazy. I'm intrigued by Tyler Warren, the tight end out of Penn State, not only because, A, the Jets could use a tight end, mm-hmm. but, B, he's also known as such a great blocker, and this team is going to run the football.
Yeah, he's a dude. He's just a football player. That's Tyler Warren's that football player you want.
I'm intrigued by him.
Yeah.
I think he makes a lot of sense, especially for what the Jets are going to try to do this season. We'll come back with more of your calls at 888-808-1019 and some proposed NFL rule changes on the table, including some intriguing ones that would greatly, greatly affect the New York Jets. We'll tell you why that's the case coming up. 888-808-1019. We just played a clip of Linsanity, Jeremy Lin, Linsanity, as a You Heard It Here on The Fan. I'm very curious how Tommy Lugar would answer this question. Which Linsanity meant more to you, Jeremy Lin or Francisco Lindor last year?
Oh, Francisco Lindor.
Okay. Good answer.
Yeah.
Good answer. There are three NFL teams that as of now have submitted rule changes for the league to go over at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them we've heard about, nothing new. The Packers want to ban the brotherly shove, the tush push. The Philadelphia Eagles want to unify overtime so that the rules of the postseason are the same as the rules of the regular season. So change the regular season overtime rules to match the postseason where both teams get a possession, even if you score a touchdown. But the one I wanted to bring up to you, which would greatly affect the New York Jets on a lot of levels, is something the Lions are proposing. To eliminate an automatic first down as a penalty for defensive holding or illegal contact. And the reason that would greatly affect the Jets is twofold. Since 2023, the team who's been called for the most defensive holds is the Detroit Lions with 26.
Oh.
The team with the second, and of course Aaron Glenn comes from Detroit.
Yep.
The team with the second most defensive holds in a legal context since 2023, the New York Jets. So,
nice.
Forgetting the bias that I would have as a Jet fan, would you want that?
I don't know if I'd mind it, because at the end of the day, you want athletes to be athletes and play. And sometimes it feels like the rules are getting in the way of just letting the game be played. Now, if it's egregious, you got to call it. But I don't know if, I mean, I wouldn't mind it.
Interesting.
Would you?
Okay, so to give you a fair answer, I think it really depends on the situation. Like, where it really drives me nuts, especially when it happens and it's called on the Jets, is when it's a ticky-tack on a 3rd and 30 or a 3rd and 20. I'm exaggerating, but those 3rd and longs in which you think you're off the field and it's like a 20-yard to gain situation.
Yeah, and they get a 5-yard.
Yeah, that's a killer. It's the worst. Now, it's different in certain circumstances. If it's an egregious penalty and it's a 2nd and 7, it's like, it should be an automatic first down. But I think when it's a 3rd and really long, or dare I say a 4th and really long, and you're forced to go for it late in the game, those feel very game-breaking. And they feel ticky-tack.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's the situation. Like, we talked recently about a rule change that I don't think it's been proposed quite yet, but it will, is the idea of getting rid of the onside kick and allowing teams to go for like a 4th and 20 to get the ball
just,
back.
It's just so much more interesting.
Yes. My negative to that would be I wouldn't want an illegal contact to be an automatic first down or a defensive hold in a situation like that, because those are the ones that bother me.
Yeah, because you see some coaches. Who was this? Was it Kyle Shanahan? Didn't Kyle Shanahan go up to one of the referees, a side judge or a line judge, and say he's gonna pass interference. He's gonna hold him on this play, and lo and behold, he held him because the coach can design a play that almost forces the defender to be in a position to hold a guy.
Yes,
and so 4th and 20 for your onside kick, you just design a play that's gonna create a penalty,
and that's the worst.
Yes,
that's where I wouldn't want it. That's an interesting one. Proposed by the Detroit Lions, who coincidentally have the most of those penalties over the last 2 years. And I am not surprised when I saw the Jets were second, because as a Jet fan, it feels like it happens every week. And they always seem to happen on these horrible game-breaking situations, like 3rd and 11.
Yep.
And the defense is about to get off the field, and there's the laundry, and up, there it is, automatic first down. Let's go to Connor in Goshen, New York. What's up, Connor?
Hey, guys. Quickly, I know that you guys were just talking about before one of the segments about Kirk Cousins, and Sean was really, you know, possibly of even getting. I would not want to give up any of my draft choices right now, especially me being a Giants fan, only if we were going to get a quarterback back into the first round. Because as we know, what we've seen with the Giants, this team needs a lot of depth, and we need a quarterback. So, we can get a quarterback back in later in the draft, meaning trading back into the first round. Those draft choices are going to be critical for the Giants to possibility of getting a quarterback. I would not want to waste on a Kirk Cousins, who, you know, I think we've seen the best of Kirk Cousins.
I think there's a great chance we've seen the best of Kirk Cousins, and I agree. Not that I want to hoard draft picks, but giving one away because I have an extra one doesn't seem to be prudent thinking.
Yeah, especially when you still think you have holes. And I think the Giants do. They still have some holes to fill. And so the best thing you can do is draft, even if it's an extra offensive lineman, draft them and develop them. Stash them away for a year or two, like the Philadelphia Eagles do. And eventually those guys learn a system, they learn a culture, and before you know it, they're Pro Bowlers. That's what the Eagles have done that every single year over the last half a decade.
If that's what you're looking to do with the pick is, I have too many holes, I need to fill up the third round, I live with that. What I can't hear is you might need that to trade back into the first round to take another one of these quarterbacks, whether it's Milroe, Dart.
Why?
Because here's why. Why is the argument that this quarterback class sucks, but everybody is so damn willing to give up draft capital to go get somebody not named Cam Ward in this draft? Like, that infuriates me. And if I'm going to do that with my third round pick, then at least give me the year of Kirk Cousins that could help stabilize this freaking organization.
Well, because if you view a quarterback on your draft board like a Jalen Milroe, we'll use him as an example, or the kid from Syracuse, Kyle McCord, yep, and you really like them, you're obviously not going to take them at three.
No.
But you see the value of coming back into the earlier part of the second round, or let's say the later part of the first round makes more sense, since you already have a pick in the early part of the second round, to grab them there. So you can still get a really good player at the top of the draft, but then also add a quarterback that you're high on. Like, a blanket statement on the quarterback draft not being good is not a good enough reason to use a third-round pick to acquire a player.
I understand the
argument. I also think your thinking is so flawed. Like, and if I'm getting this wrong, correct me. You are okay trading a third-round pick because you usually screw up your third-round picks? Is that basically what you're saying?
It actually has nothing to do with the Giants. It has to do with, from the compensatory picks on, the likelihood of hitting on a starter is extremely low.
You drafted Julian Love in the fourth round 5 years ago.
Okay, we could cherry pick certain parts. There are, of course, success stories. My point is the percentages in NFL history, not Giant history, tell you those picks on are very low that they're going to be a serious contributing starter. Now, I understand throwing a dart and maybe a develop one and you get a Julian Love. But to say that that's the kind of pick that would hold you back on getting the most important position corrected for 1 year for the Giants, I think is short-sighted.
I think the challenge, though, is that what if he actually is shot? What if you've already seen the best of Kirk Cousins?
Which is possible.
Exactly.
I didn't even say likely.
And again, I'm not knocking Kurt. I'm just it's the reality of being 37 or soon to be 38 years old.
Then you just took a third round pick, mm-hmm, like you're bowling, and you put it in the gutter.
And you burned it.
And you burned it. Yeah, that one's better. Let's go to Andre in Connecticut. What's up, Andre? Hello, Andre.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good, dude. What's good. Up?
Ohtani today. I want to know why MLB is giving away home runs now.
Yeah.
The guy's talented enough. Why are we giving away home runs? And my second point to MLB is, why do we start the season and then put these teams back into the spring training camps? That just doesn't make any sense to me. These games could have played less. These games could have been played next week, early next week.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the Mets to...
So let's start with your second point, then we'll explain the call in the game where Ohtani was, gifted a home run.
Right.
I agree with you that these international games are very popular. They're important. I'm not just going to sit here as a jingoistic American and say get rid of them. What I'm going to say is place them in a different spot. Because I agree with our last caller, and I agree with the majority of baseball fans shouldn't be the first game of the season.
Not location-wise.
No.
You're talking on where the schedule is.
The calendar.
Yeah.
I have proposed having it right out of the All-Star break. Our last caller proposed just doing it as the season starts and then giving these guys those off days early in the baseball season. Mm-hmm. I think there are different ways you can get around the travel issue, but having it on March 19th and March 18th before the regular baseball season starts leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth, and baseball should change it.
Well, especially because they go back to spring training. That's what makes no sense.
Yeah.
more than anything. It's just why are you incentivized as a player? And it's likely to be the other guys on the squad anyways, but still, it's just weird.
The whole thing is strange. International games are fine. Just put it in a different part of the year, and I know it's challenging because of the travel, but figure out a way.
At least they don't have to take an ocean liner.
Like Babe Ruth did?
Like Babe Ruth did. Yes. We talked about that the other day. How did Babe Ruth get to Japan
to
play those exhibition games? Well, first they went to British Columbia, Vancouver, and then took a boat to Hawaii, and then from Hawaii they went to Japan, even though that's 6,200 and something miles.
Why'd they do that? Why didn't they go to San Diego and take a boat from there?
Does that make more sense? If you're going to go to British Columbia, go the northern route.
Oh, you can't do
up
that.
Near,
that's dangerous.
Why is it dangerous?
Because of the snow and the ice.
The ice?
And the conditions.
Well, do you know where the Titanic hit the iceberg?
Yes.
Where?
In the Atlantic Ocean.
In North Atlantic.
Yeah.
But it's not even close to the Greenland. It's lower than where Babe Ruth, if they had gone north, would have interacted.
That's
ice.
Why it was dangerous.
You can hit ice anywhere.
It's dangerous.
Of course it's dangerous.
All I know is it took Babe Ruth 2 weeks on an ocean liner. And by the way, Babe wasn't the only guy. We're just only mentioning his name because no one wants to put respect on Jimmy Fox's name. But they all were on these boats for 2 weeks. Now, the Ohtani point. Yeah, it took 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they'll be on a plane for, I don't know, a day.
Yeah, you're right. Ohtani hit a home run in the fifth inning that appeared, in my humble opinion, as an IBO, to be brought over the fence by a fan.
Yes.
So they had review, because we have review in baseball, and even after the review, they upheld the home run. To me, it was clear as day that a fan reached over and grabbed the home run. But I'll tell you something about the Japanese series right after we come back. The amount of people that watched it in Japan will actually blow your mind. We'll give you the numbers, plus we'll get back to your phone calls at 888-808-1019. And coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, it is a game we have not played in 7 months, but it returns because people have demanded it. The baseball fans want to know, hey, I need some help. My fantasy drafts this weekend. I forgot who's on what team. We bring back the game. New team, who dis? It's Evan and Tiki on the Fan.